So I want to start by asking you guys a question. The question is, do you have what it takes? So naturally, the next question in mind, to do what? Right? Well, to do what the Lord has asked you to do. But you see, in answering that question, the Lord doesn't always tell us up front what's next. Most of the time, we don't even know, right? But do you have what it takes? The answer is given to you already in the Scripture. The answer is yes. It's written all over in the pages of the Scripture. And if you're preparing yourself, you can prepare, you could answer that question without knowing what is next. A couple of verses come to mind right off the top, like Philippians 4:13, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's no disclaimer there. It doesn't say if this or that. It just says all things, right? Another verse that came to mind when I asked that question is over in Hebrews. Let's turn over there. And in Hebrews chapter 13, I'll pick it up in verse 5. It says, let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. You can see there in italics, not the first time he said this. So that we will confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? See, we can confidently say yes. Why? Because the Lord is our helper. Now I ask you, who else would you want to be helping you? I mean, you get kids lined up for a basketball team out on the court, they're picking favorites. If the Lord is one to pick, you're going to put him on your team, right? See, he said the Lord is our helper, and that came into play when Christ came on the scene, because where does he dwell now? Right? In the Christian, right? And he has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit, which was one of many gifts given to the Christian, right? There's this thing called grace. And what's that stand for, right? God's resources at Christ's expense. And so we've been told before what that looks like. What is that? Well, it's pretty much like, you know, your dad owns a big hardware store and you have a project going and he just unlocks the door and says, have at it. Use whatever you need. It's kind of like calling up Drew if you need to borrow a tool. That guy has got, like, I say, I got to do this. I haven't took him up on it yet, but he's like, I got a tool for that. I'm like, they make a tool for that? Yep. You see, God has got anything available if you're working towards his glory. You see? But you see, there's this problem within the person. And you know what that problem's called? It's called the comfort level. And for most people, for some of you here, your comfort level is right here. Like, you don't even want to get on this thing. You're like, I'm staying right here, 2 feet on the ground, I'm good. You know? And I never thought I was afraid of heights. You know, I put some roofing down, me and Emmett, actually, and my nephew. And, you know, I didn't think I was afraid of heights. I'm on a roof, no problem. But then I go to the climbing wall with my son, right? And I figure out, there is a little uncomfortably in heights. I get about 20 feet up that climbing wall, and what's my mind say? I don't want to do this anymore. You know? And so this is the parameters of what we're comfortable with in our Christian life. To say these Ornsteins represent what we're able to do ourselves. And so most people in their Christian walk, they start climbing the ladder, and they stay within what they're able to accomplish themselves. And there's a certain comfort level that you get to where now the next step is what God can help you do. And I should have moved the ladder over. And what do most people do when they get past what they can do themselves? They stop, right? Because it's uncomfortable when we can't control the situation anymore, right? So we just sit here. And we wait. Now let me ask you a question. Is that what God intended you to do? Is that what God built you for? You know, a couch is built for comfort. The Christian wasn't built to be comfortable. God built us for a purpose. But to do God's purpose, we have to get past what we're uncomfortable for. So you know what I did when I was climbing with my son on those 20-foot walls? They're 40 or something like that. I don't know what they are. They're tall. They're scary. I know that much. But when I got to that point, I had to push myself past where I was uncomfortable. And I went all the way to the top. I only did it twice because I didn't like it. But I had to tell myself that I could do it. You see? And that's the key thing. You have to renew the mind. You have to train the mind and tell yourself you can do what God has asked or even demanded of you. So that leads to another question. What do you do when your mind says you can't do anymore? What do you do when your mind says you can't do anymore? Let's just raise hands for this one. How many of you have heard about the 40% rule? Any of you? Got one maybe? Maybe when I explain it, maybe you've heard it. But when your mind says you're done, it's been proven that you're only 40% done. Now I proved this to myself when I used to work out with my brother. That's where the tears are coming from. And when the mind says you're done, you're not done. Because I did a workout program with my brother. And typical workout, right? Shooting for 8 reps. That's old school. There's new things thrown in there now. But you're going for 8 reps. So you set that mental thing in your head. I'm going to push hard for 8 reps. You know what happens at number 7? And then you're able to squeeze out one more and you call it good, right? You know what happens when you don't count reps and your partner counts them for you? And you take that mental block out of the head? I was pushing more weight than I ever pushed. And reps were looking like 15, 20, 30. My brother at time pushed out 40. 40 reps on weight more than we were doing 8 when we began. Why? Because you took the mental barrier out of the mind that said, I'm done. You don't count. You just go. You go and you go until you can't go no more. So see, we've set these mental barriers in our mind that we can't do anymore. But you can do it. If Christ brought you to it, you can do it. You have the strength within you. And the strength is immeasurable. It doesn't have limits. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 12. Picking up in verse 1, it says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, right in that verse is where we find the key ingredients of how we get done what our mind says we can't do. And it's called the renewing of the mind. You see, a lot of people read that verse and they think of something. They're like, the renewing of the mind, that's my daily scripture reading. I wouldn't totally disagree with that, but it's not limited to that. You see, your scripture reading is where you find out what God is calling you to do. But let me use this as an example. Just because somebody says to do something every single day, does that mean you're going to do it? I'm going to guess more than half of us would say, don't do this one. We drive past these little white signs on the side of the road. They say go 35. We drive past them every single day. Do we drive 35? No. Right? So, the thing is just because we are reading the scripture every single day doesn't mean we're going to be renewing our mind. You see, the key ingredient is when we take those scripture verses and make them bullet points. You pull them out and they become actions. Love your neighbor. So you read that for the day and you say, okay, I'm going to love my neighbor. So, if we don't renew our mind, we won't achieve what God wants us to do. We'll get stuck in the comfort level. We'll get stuck somewhere along the line because we're not refocusing ourselves on getting God's will done and then turning that into an action where we're actually doing it. So we get these hurdles in our life that we can't get over, right? And sometimes they can last years. But we need to be clearing those hurdles. And if we put back a couple chapters here in Romans chapter 8, the reason I say we need to be overcoming the hurdles is because of this verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 says, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Who's him who loved us? Christ, right? We are to be overcomers. We are to conquer things. And the how we do that is over in 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, and what... I'm going to start in verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. You see how this plays in? If God says to do something, and we don't do it, we're lacking faith. You see, our faith is a victory that overcomes the world. And that faith is what removes us from the world. You know, for us that haven't overcome those hurdles or got stuck in that path, it's a lot like the runner that was running the 100-meter hurdles, and last time they knocked a few over and landed flat on their face. That mental image that you have in front of you is hard to overcome because you fell flat on your face last time. But we've seen examples in the world where they can overcome that and have great victories. People that don't even have the power that's inside of us. You see, but we got to renew our mind and remind ourselves in that daily grind every single day, time after time, maybe even hour after hour, that we can overcome the hurdles in our life. That we can stop yelling at our wife. That we can be a good dad. That we can overcome addictions. That we can preach the gospel to others. Or that we can be a loving wife. You can overcome the hurdles in your younger ages too. If you're a teenager, if you're a young person, you can overcome the hurdle of peer pressure. To not be conformed to the world and be like those around you, but to be something different, because I guarantee you every one of those young people is looking for something different than what they're experiencing in the world. Why do they try so many things? They're looking for something different. You, young person, can be that something different to a good advantage for them. But it takes that transforming of the mind. But for me, sometimes when I got to put it in a play-by-play. I got to see it work out. So for me, I read some scripture. And the one that I pulled out was, love is patient and love is kind. And so I said, I want to be a loving father. I want to be a kind father. I want to be patient and kind. Now, that's a command that comes from God, right? He said, love one another. He said one of the qualities of love, or two of the qualities of love, is to be patient, to be kind. Now, if I'm obeying my father, is there anything that could happen to me where I should disobey him? The answer is no, right? Nothing should steer me off the course of the obedience of God. But faith is not faith unless it's tested, right? So you think if you're working on being patient and kind, that you don't get tested on that? You know, James talks about it, right? It's a testing of our faith. So if I'm trying to be patient and kind with my family, do you think when my children maybe act up, that ain't a testing of my faith? Because I'm trying to obey God's command. So nothing that they can do should steer me off of my obedience. So what that looks like in the play-to-play is I wake up in the morning and I remind myself of my bullet point, my action. I remind myself, today you are going to be patient and kind. Right? Then the day starts unfolding, the kids start waking up. Maybe they start whining, throwing fits. You know what I do in that moment now that I didn't do that's helping me achieve the goal of overcoming? Is when I see the problem starting to arise that's always been that hurdle's in front of me, then I say to myself, the renewing of the mind, God's scripture, I say to myself, love is patient, love is kind. Your only job in this moment, Roger, is to get over that hurdle. You don't get to disobey God. It don't matter how bad this situation gets. You stay patient and kind. Because you know what I can control? Me. I can't always control my kids, right? They're wonderful kids, don't get me wrong. But I can't always control them. But I can control me. And I am responsible for my actions before God. So if I get angry in that situation, now I've disobeyed God. Now I am displeasing to God. And in the big picture of it, I'm not doing what I should do for my children. And then as people made a great point today, Tyler Beatty did actually. He said, you know, our choices affect the generation after the generation after the generation. You know, I'm not that angry of a man, don't get me wrong. But if I was, that could play down into my son and into his son. Because the children learn from the father and the mother, right? So our actions play out again and again and again. And is it going to be easy? I don't think so. This marathon runner said it kind of like this. He says it hurts, but that's all it does. The most difficult part of the journey is training your mind. When you get out there and run, you build calluses on your feet to endure the road. You have to build calluses on your mind to endure the pain. And there's only one way to do that. Get out there and run. We ain't going to overcome if we're staying comfortable. We have to get out there and run this race God has set before us. But we have to do it with a renewing of the mind attitude so that when that hurdle comes, we clear it. Because you don't decide you're going to clear that hurdle when you get to that hurdle. Those runners run that through their head over and over and over again. And you know what they see at the end? They see themselves crossing the finish line. But you have to prepare your mind for that ahead of time, or else you're not going to cross the finish line. So I want to flip back to Romans chapter 8 real quick. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. We talked about all these things. And it says, to us, the Christian that has the power inside of us, it says, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. You see, and the battleground of the Christian takes place in the mind. And that is where the battles are won or lost, and where the ground for the victory for God is either advanced or retreated. In the mind. Because if you decide to do it here, then the action comes out where you're doing it there, right? You're doing the loving. Maybe your fear is to speak to other people about the gospel. You win the battle in the mind, the action comes forward, right? The action will follow. If you never conquer the battle in the mind, then the action never comes forward. Prepare your mind for battle. Prepare your mind to overcome the hurdles when they arise. And tell yourself that you will do whatever it takes to bring glory to God. And you will put aside any hurdles that are not pleasing to God. My encouragement for myself and for you guys is that we push ourselves past the 40%. Push ourselves past where the mind has said, I can't go any further. So that we can be victorious for God. That we can show the world. How encouraging is it when people, when we see people come into this assembly and they overcome things like addiction and they keep going? How encouraging is that? So how encouraging is it if people see us where we are the examples of strong Christian families that don't act like the world? We don't yell at each other. We raise our children in a loving way. We don't yell at them. You know, all these fruits of the Spirit displayed in the lives when people see us and they see something different. Extremely encouraging. Now, you guys are already all doing it, right? And you're all incredibly encouraging to me. But what I'm saying is push past that 40%. You got more to give. You can do so much more. I believe in you, but God really believes in each one of you. You have what it takes.